this podcast, we're going to journey from the ancient Inca civilization right up to the present with CRISPR gene editing technology. They're related somehow, in my mind at least. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific, but moreover we have a sort of humble scientific conversation where I say what I know or understand or believe in, and you can listen if you want to. Unfortunately, I can't speak with you, and we can slot it all together. It might be interesting, it might not be. It's part of the overall cardiac rehab I'm doing, where I think things, I say, oh, I'm going to have to remember those live coming up. So let's get into this. The thing about Inca civilization, the thing that really grabbed me was Inca civilization, area of Peru, expanded up. They had very big armies, I suppose, from 900 AD up to when the Spanish came around 1500. That's a few hundred years or less. They emerged from the Andes Mountains around in that area. And as a civilization, they hadn't fully got the wheel, and they also hadn't got writing. There's a whole series of things. They had sort of, I suppose, symbolic writing, and they had a state, very much a very socialist state, based on service to the state. So you worked hard your entire life, and then if you reached a certain age, you could retire. But also in this state, they had a unique way of education. In fact, they were against mothering children, and so they dug a pit and put their children in a pit and kept them there and just fed them in a pit so they would become true Incas. So it's a sort of a strange sort of society. They had roads and communication. They had no horses or wheels, stuff like that. So they had to have a series of runners to go across their vast Inca empire, which is around there. I think vast, it's sort of a large population by European standards, which has had the series of plagues and stuff like that. It's a fairly big empire. In fact, what was it? There was a group of Spanish conquistadors, fortune hunters, and they were going up a particular river when they saw an Inca barge full of people who were apparently holidaying on with gold cups, and the conquistadors were very interested in what was going on, and these brothers then went up to invade and have horrible conquest of these guys, the Incas. And of course, what I want to focus on is this strange thing of knots. And this is something which is really lost in history, because unfortunately I killed off everyone of knots, and it's the way that they recorded information and numbers by tying knots in pieces of string. And it's something which we don't know about, and it has the complexity is that it was actually handed in from person to person, so one person's group of knots would be different from another person's piece of knots. And this is a very important thing for communicating information in the Inca kingdom. You'd have someone who was a good runner and had a good memory and had a good use of knots, these knotted strings. So these, please look it up. I've read in detail about the Inca civilization, because there's so many parallels between the Inca civilizations, unfortunately, and Australian society, the way that it's organized. So I'm looking at it and absolutely fascinated by it. So the idea of these strings with knots carrying information. Let's go back a few billion years to the great string information, which is RNA and DNA. These are essentially fibers. So the cells in the body, so we're changing from Incas, we're going into cells, we're trying to get very close to it. Cells contain information in these knots, or this information in these strings. And when I say there's a string, inside each cell is 2 meters of string, and with 23 trillion cells, that gets you back and forward to the sun several times in terms of length of DNA in you at this moment. So inside you, in the moment, you're listening, you say, look, if I go out with a scalpel and uncut every DNA sequence and uncoil it, and they're normally uncoiled anyway, and then put them end to end, it will stretch out to the sun and back to the sun and back several times. That's a lot of string for your information to be encoded in. And this gets us to the story of CRISPR. And we have to go back. We're eukaryotic cells, so we're slave-owning cells. We have we're a colony. Each one of us is a colony, or it's not really a colony, we're co-opted. We're sort of like a colony of these ancient cells, which each one of our cells is a slave owner. We have slave bacteria cells. So your eukaryotic cells, we're cells with nucleuses. That's important, but we're going further back in time. Further back in time, there was a big war. The Earth first in its hell stages. Hell was heaven. You've got to get your mind around this. Hell was heaven to the first ancient cells. And these ancient cells came out, and they have little rings of DNA, but they're ancient. We now call them extremophiles, because the extreme conditions were what we term as hell, but that was the whole Hadean period. And so these cells came out and began to make things of sulfuric acid, hydrogen sulfide, vents, and really horrible, horrible places. And we still have them now today. If you want to smell what ancient Earth smells like, smell a fart, because they're the ancient cells in your stomach making the ancient Earth. The fart comes out like that. So these ancient cells are here, they're bags, but a bit of DNA and stuff like that. They're soft cells, that's what I say. They're very ancient cells that have no nucleuses. And we've got to say, look, there's another horror for these cells besides the hell that they're in, the horrible conditions they're in. They also suffered another thing, which is killer viruses. Now, viruses are just bits of dead information, but they're a bit more than that. They actually form themselves into things which are suspiciously lifelike, and these are called plasmids. And the plasmids come in different varieties. This is not just like your flu virus, where it's spat up into the air and it sticks on things and you pick it up. These little guys have attitude. So these eyes have no ability to move, but they can actually, well, they do have an ability to move. You know, they can move and steer and navigate. And they are basically the viruses, and they've got themselves a little spaceship. So these are just, they've got none of the components of the cells, no energy generation, nothing. No ability to produce new chemicals. They're made as is, and then they go off, and the next thing, they're made. So let's start off with a birth of a virus. A virus's mum is a cell that is actually infected and destroyed. And so what happens is the cell's machinery is taken over. This is the ancient cell's machinery is taken over, and it's trying to make something for it, but it keeps on making viruses until there's so many viruses up, and then it just explodes, or the viruses have a key card and go, dit, get me out of here, and they just get elevated to the surface of the cell and just leave the cell. So the poor old cell's trying to do things, but it's actually a zombie cell producing viruses. And the viruses are in these little spaceships called plasmids. They've got a little command capsule, which is this hexagonal, beautiful little thing, a little tube, and six landing legs. And the six landing legs go around, and they hover around the cells, and they actually inject the cells like a mosquito, inject their lethal load of DNA into the center of these cells, ancient cells, archaea cells. These are the early guys. And what's happened is that we have this, the origin of CRISPR. Now, this is where my memory brain is going, oh, far out, I can't remember it. So, could be CRISPR. So, what's happened is that these bits of RNA, there's got bits of, bits of DNA, plus, oh no, put it in a, it's got bits of DNA plus a genetic engineering toolkit. So the last, if you had just a piece of DNA floating around, nothing much would happen, produce a few. But if it's actually put into the DNA of the archaic cell, the archaic cell will start to produce it. So it's got the engineering toolkit, and so it's actually spliced into the DNA of your archaic cell, and the archaic cell becomes a zombie and explodes, producing heaps of other viruses. So the one virus goes in, millions of viruses come out. It's just, and the poor old cell was minding its business, living its life, and it suddenly began behaving badly and exploded, killing all its friends at the same time. This is, and look, plasmids are a great tool for us. We can use them to fight off bacteria and other things. So this is virus killers. So virus can attack us, but viruses can also attack our bad guys. A complex world. So what happens is that you've got your string, like your Aztec string. It's got knots in it, but some of the knots in it are commands to make another virus cell. This is sort of absolute disaster. And so over billions of years, the game is up for the viruses. And the sort of ancient life, one of the things that it invented is CRISPR. So CRISPR is something we've discovered, but life invented. And CRISPR stands for, I'll see if I can get this right. And bear in mind, this is my brain not working properly. So it's closely related interspaced palindromic repeats. That is, they saw these sequences in the cell, and what would say, you know, Glenelg or race car are examples of palindromes. I go for the short palindromes like A and I, but there's some, a whole sea, LOL is a palindrome. It starts and finishes with the same letters. So it's clustered. I've got it through. You'll have to go back on the net and find the right thing, and after this I'll go back. That's part of my brain training, is trying to remember things. I remember a lot of things, but you know, other things just disappear. I'm just getting back from my operation. My mind's really been knocked around by these general anesthetics I've had, or other things, I don't know. Okay, CRISPR. So CRISPR is, we don't know what the knots are, but the knots are in a pattern, which are these palindromes, and then they're repeated, and they're interspaced, the repeats. So it's got a whole sort of, like it's a meta language, so it's not like people saying, oh, people read newspapers for the headlines. This is more like this odd thing that people have thrown out newspapers down the street, and they've thrown three at one house, none at the next, none at the next, three at the next, and they're a pattern of how the newspapers have been put out rather than actually what's in the newspaper. And what this is that when the archaic bacteria, the archaic cells found the piece of virus DNA, and they said, bloody hell, we're not going to have this again. And so what happens is that they said, now what does that piece of viral DNA look like? So here's a copy, and we're going to put it in our cell, and we're going to put the CRISPR gene markers either side of it, and so that we can go across, and then we can then program our gene counter editor. So the viruses came with DNA and some genetic engineering, the ancient cells began to counter genetic DNA. So they're counterintelligence units. And so they come in and they use this specially marked piece of DNA to put, to build strips of RNA. So RNA is sort of like your plaster of Paris impression of your DNA. It's a copy of it, which is used. So it's a functional, useful copy. So you've got your DNA is the master copy. RNA is a bit like your messenger print, your, you know, sort of it's pretty similar to the waiter takes the order from the DNA and writes it on its little piece of paper called the RNA, okay? And then it rushes the RNA out of the nucleus, in our case, over to the kitchens, which are the ribosomes, which are sort of like kitchens, so to speak, and just posts it. This is the order, mate, and it then reads that piece of that order paper. So if you imagine RNA, it's a bit like order paper you've written down. So using the CRISPR, it knows to write a piece of order paper, or RNA, on called a guide RNA. And the guide RNA goes along with to an enzyme. There's a whole heap of enzymes. It's really fascinating. But the one that people like to use is something called Cas9. So the RNA in the guide RNA, it slips into something called Cas9 enzyme, and the two just mix together. They know the guide RNA just loves slipping into the Cas9. So it's a piece of RNA. It's got a bit of a snippet of the DNA that it wants to get out. You know, if we don't stop this will ruin us. So it's got this emergency piece to get. It's got about 20 bases, 20 code bits to it. I'm not going to explain that too much. And it's also got other bits in it, which is basically attaches to the RNA and then pushes this guide RNA in. And so what happens is this Cas thing loves the DNA and slides up and down the DNA at high speed, searching the DNA for these 20 bases. And when it finds these 20 bases, it's got the DNA, and the DNA has got this beautiful zipper in the center of it, which of these hydrogen bonds, it rips it apart and places its own RNA. And when it hits a code of, this is the same code, destroy. So it actually uses bits of the viral DNA images. So it's an immune system of these ancient bacteria. And 90% of these ancient bacteria use this method. So the other bacteria, the other 10%, use another method we haven't discovered yet. This is exciting stuff, guys. And so what happens is that this goes over, and then it's got two scissors. Yes, I've told you before that proteins, which are functional, are called enzymes, and these goes, when this locks in, there's a whole series of molecular wiring, and it comes across and cuts the DNA in two. And would that be, that would probably be curtains to a lot of animals and stuff like that, having your DNA cut in two. However, DNA gets cut in two all the time. No worries. What happens is that emergency repair units come up and re-stick the DNA together. Now, what happens is that I suppose if the DNA is repaired again, the Cas cuts it again. Repairs again, cuts again, until it makes a mistake and destroys that piece of DNA. So it's a sort of a circular process which will continue to cut it. And so what you need nowadays to do your own, so this is this genetic engineering. Genetic engineering has leapt forward by leaping backwards. It's leapt back several billion years ago, worked out how what is obviously going on to survive. Life has to genetically engineer itself every day to beat viruses. it's then used the CRISPR technology. I'll have to remember, I know palindromic repeats, clustered, I don't know what the other R, interspaced, CRISPR, I've just forgotten what that first R is. Sorry, my friends out there in podcast land. But what it means is that although you can't possibly do it at home or in your kitchen, you can order, not on the dark web, but quite legitimately, two squeezy bottles. One squeezy bottle of the Cas9 enzyme, another squeezy bottle of the 20 base codes on a guide RNA. You can just say, look, I want a bottle of RNA. And believe it or not, the US can just pump this out. Get two bottles of them. Get your cells, preferably single cells like yeast. Squirt it on and you can silence a gene. Doing a bit more exciting stuff. So that's as if you can actually get it in there. So you may have to do something to get it in. So it's like introduce on a virus. So viruses are part of their genetic engineering materials to do this anyway. They're designed to do it. So you can build viruses which are designed to inject DNA into cells. So what's happening is that nature is providing us a heap of DNA tools on one aspect, DNA engineering tools. Viruses inject into cells. Okay, let's go back. Just let's talk about there's ancient cells, then some of the ancient cells began to get hard shells on them and be small, so they're hard and robust, and they produced oxygen. And it began an oxygen economy, which are the bacteria. So bacteria like oxygen, and this is oxygen is for if bacteria, the ancient cells live off farts, the bacteria, even though they smell, live off oxygen. They eventually produce so much oxygen that they gassed the ancient cells to death, almost to death, but at the last moment these ancient cells save the day by actually taking over the bacteria cells, saying, well, I'm just going to use you to breathe for me. So if you like it, our cells, every cell in your body has a sort of like a little scuba diving lung of the mitochondria, which takes and does the breathing, breathes the oxygen for us. So it's sort of an amazing story. So the bacteria still use this Cas9 thing, but to a limited amount. And now what we're doing is that we're hopping it all the way, fast-forwarding it, and using this process in big cells. So this is mind-boggling what's actually going on. And just from a teaching perspective, you have something in a handout, a piece of textbook, and they're talking about X-ray imaging of DNA from 1948, and something is going to happen in 1952. And in the meantime, people can order cloned pets online, and sort of like it's, or people can actually put enzymes into a piece of DNA and make it into a smiley face. I kid you not. We can actually get pieces of DNA and fold it such it looks like a smiley face under a microscope. And just all these insane things. So it's one of those things. And then CRISPR technology has come along, and these people are going forward. Like I had kids in my class. One had cyst fibrosis, and they were being treated with a viral cure. So the actual kids in your class are experiencing the benefits of genetic engineering. Let's just stop and say what the end story of CRISPR is. Now in human DNA is interesting. So once you get out of bacteria, you get to DNA. So it's the ancient DNA has got a little bit of pre-programming in front of it. Human DNA is all about pre-programming. You've got pre-programs, and you have enzymes which read the pre-program and say activate this gene. So this is how it all works, guys. If you receive a drug hormone, the hormone is a key. The key actually goes onto your DNA, activates a switch in DNA, and then your DNA tells you to produce more of something. you know, this is so fundamental how it works. But also, we've got a backup copy, one from your mum, and each one of you is a hybrid mum and dad. Your mum has given you a copy of DNA. Your dad's given you a copy of DNA. They're still copies, and they're working together cooperatively. So you are a cooperation of your mum and your dad's DNA, and your mum's DNA is a Frankenstein mixture of her mum and dad's, and your dad is a Frankenstein mixture of his mum and dad's. So there's a backup, sort of complex backup, backed up DNA. So what happens is that if you have your DNA cut, it goes across, it's got another copy there, and it goes across, checks it, and uses that as a template to patch the DNA up. And so what you can do is trick the cell by having heaps of DNA templates floating around the place, so, and then cut at the particular point. And so this has got my head, yeah, cut at the particular point with the Cas9 and your guide RNA. Cas9, generic protein, works on any life form. Guide RNA has 20 bases at the end with the bit that it's looking for to cut. Cuts it, and then it repairs it, but the new guide, it repairs it for the new guide DNA, sorry, the new template DNA, and inserts genes. So we have really got, in the space of no time whatsoever, a blithering, a big advance. So this is as big an advance as, say, quantum physics is from the Bohr model. You know, it's as a big advance here. Now, the fact that people aren't really getting onto it is interesting. But sort of the other idea is that we are creatures of the string, so to speak. Our string inside, your string inside you, reaches to the sun and back several times. I'll have to do the maths again, but you can do it yourself. It's 23 trillion cells and 2 meters in each, so that's 60 trillion meters. And I just really have to work this out. Well, 50 trillion meters, and the sun is 153 million kilometers. So 153 billion, it's just an enormous length to go in here. I just can't quite do it in my head. It's just a frightening length of string inside you. And those strings carry information, much like the Aztec Incas. And the Aztec Incas, if you can imagine, were just at the very early stages. You can imagine over billions of years, in the battles, graphic battles, where the viruses ruled for a while with their little spacecraft, and then eventually we got counterintelligence. Really, Cas9 is a counterintelligence operation where the actual identity of DNA, which has been corrupted, is given away. So if it's got this, cut it out. If it's got that, cut it out. And that machinery has been then taken us, and we've just looked at things, and it's sort of like a smoking gun. What the heck is a palindrome? So like if you're reading your DNA, it goes random, reverse random. So short interspaced palindromes. Interspaced short. Oh look, I have to go through it. I'll remember at some stage. So this is a fascinating thing, that the sort of quantum mechanics of everything is lying within these string molecules, which are again governed by quantum mechanics. The actual machinery, if you wanted to look at if you had said Cas9 is a machine, Cas9 is a machine based on quantum mechanical hinges, that is, electron wave functions which are symmetric, which allows rotation, or electron wave functions which don't allow translations, or allow the actual things, you know, why would it move? Or it's because electrons have flowed from one end to another end of the molecule, making this a charge. It's a charge, and all that machinery inside the quantum mechanics, all the machinery inside the DNA is full of quantum mechanics. And then when you look at one fiber, there's more fibers. There's the tubulins. There's the fibers inside the neurons. We're just super, super stringy animals. Thanks for listening. I hope that's a little bit of a better story where I've connected Inca civilization with CRISPR. And you should give me a round of applause, because I had no idea what I was going to say when I switched this podcast on. Thanks for listening.